and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Opt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're...
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks. House Republicans are now regrouping after losing another candidate for Speaker. CBS's Nicole Killian tells us Minnesota's Tom Emmer is out.
At the end of the day, there were about 10 to 20 members who were not backing Emmer. He spent several hours trying to talk to some of them. Obviously, it does not appear that he was successful if he has now made this decision to drop out.
Former President Trump weighed in.
So I disagreed with him on a lot of things over the years, and I assume it had a big impact.
He's being blamed for tanking Emmer's bid on Truth Social last night. Six Republicans have since stepped up. Israel is livid with UN Chief Antonio Guterres today, who seemingly justified terror attacks by Hamas.
The attacks by Hamas did not happen in a vacuum. The Palestinian people have been subjected to 56 years of suffocating occupation. They have seen their land steadily devoured by settlements and plagued by violence.
Israel's ambassador Gilad Erdan.
How can the Secretary General, with his words, justify in any way the terrible atrocities that happened to our civilians, innocent civilians?
He's calling for Guterres to resign. Meantime, many could die in Gaza soon if they run out of supplies. CBS's Holly Williams.
We know that those that are functioning are relying on fuel for power, and they say that that's running out. Now, to give you an example of what that means in one hospital, they are warning that the 50 or so babies that they have in incubators, they're saying that if the fuel for their power runs out, they are warning that those babies will die.
Aid is trickling in from Egypt, but the U.S. says it's not fast enough. In Georgia, former Trump attorney Jenna Ellis apologized after pleading guilty to election interference charges.
I believe in and I value election integrity. If I knew then what I know now, I would have declined to represent Donald Trump in these post-election challenges.
She is the fourth defendant now to plead guilty. 5,000 more auto workers walked off the job today.
GM's Arlington, Texas plant makes a company's big SUVs like Suburban, Tahoe, Yukon, and Cadillac Escalade. Analyst John McElroy says big utilities mean big profits.
That is the most profitable plant that General Motors has. In fact, some people say it is the most profitable assembly plant in the world.
That's reporter Jeff Gilbert. Police in Oregon say an off-duty Alaska Airlines pilot may have been high on mushrooms when he tried to cut the engines on a plane mid-flight. Court documents show Joseph Emerson believed he was having a nervous breakdown. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Germantown police officers who were involved in the shooting outside Kennedy Middle School last night have been placed on administrative leave. The incident occurred when officers responded to a report of an individual acting erratically in the school's parking lot. That person climbed onto the roof of the school and fired shots at the officers, prompting them to return fire. As a result, the school district made the decision to close both the affected school and the entire district today. Artificial turf is being delivered this week to Waukesha's Mendiola Park. The installation of the turf will take a few weeks, and when that's done, the project will be almost completed. The second phase of the Mendiola Park soccer complex was funded by a combination of CIP and ARPA funds. The development of the south side of the park was a priority. The complex will soon be available for more tournaments, leagues, and rentals. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Welcome, everybody. Did you know my fantasy when I was a little kid was to talk on the radio? And here I am, Anya. Whoever thought?
Whoever thought? I don't know.
I really don't. I keep expecting the men in the black suits to show up and like yank me on here. You're not qualified to do this. You know, a good dose of Tuesday imposter syndrome. If you don't know, now you do. It's the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Big announcement in the second half of our show today. If you want to know who's going to challenge Brian Steele in the first congressional district and try to restore more sanity, some sanity, a small modicum, maybe just a dabble, do ya, sanity to the U.S. House of Representatives, you're not going to want to miss this exclusive announcement. So excited. My guest is in the studio. We're going to keep that guest under wraps until the big announcement in the second half of the show. But today, if you want to join the conversation, always want to hear from you. Text and phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. I saw the most interesting presentation today over the lunch hour. I'm a member of Rotary, which also thought I would never say that in my entire life, because, yeah, Rotary wasn't me. That was for, you know, different people. But now I'm a proud member of the Milwaukee Rotary International Organization, and they had in a speaker today from the Project on Government Oversight. Her name's Danielle Bryan. She's basically been leading the Project on Government Oversight for 25 years. And she started out with a tiny line item in the Defense Department's budget with just a couple of employees, and now over 50 employees in a multi-million dollar budget. And what do? Their entire raison d'etre, reason for being, is to make government work better for people, to fight corruption, to fight cronyism. And she was talking today to Milwaukee Rotary because it's the 75th anniversary of the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, which is such an appropriate thing for us to take a moment to reflect upon. And I wasn't sure which direction I wanted to take this today. But I want to talk about institutions and why they matter as the bulwark against authoritarianism, why they matter
as the bulwark against corruption. Institutions in democracies make the democracy. In other words, if institutions degrade and people start to lose faith in the institutions, not just of government, but of civil society writ large, that's when authoritarianism takes root. And Ms. Bryant had some incredibly timely and appropriate observations, and I wanted to share a bit of this with you. And the first observation and data point that she shared was that only 56% of Americans, based on a recent survey, believe that democracy is the ideal form of government. I'm going to pause there. Only 56% of Americans believe that democracy is the ideal form of government. You can see why institutions that comprise a democratic political system then would seem to be in a weakened state here in the United States. And I think that's a statistic that frankly shocks a few people, right? Like, what do you mean only 56% of people think that democracy is good? I think democracies should be questioned. Their premises should be questioned. We should be pushing democracies and the people that make them up, government actors, those that influence and lobby government actors, every branch of government, we should be requiring it to be better. But how? How do we do that? And Ms. Bryan offered effectively 6 pillars of institutional legitimacy. And that if you don't have these things, and if they're not enshrined within the laws of a country, you will see cronyism, corruption, bribery, and you will see a government that works for individuals in power and not the people that it's supposedly representing. Here are those pillars. You have to have robust whistleblower laws. In other words, there has to be a system that protects those that speak out when they see government fraud, waste, abuse, and corruption. Secondly, you have to have a robust system of inspectors general, or whatever you call those, and they're called IGs in the federal government. Local and state governments, sometimes they're called auditors. They find bad things, they refer them to attorneys general or district attorneys if it's criminal. You must have good faith legislative oversight of how the executive branch and the judicial branch of government go about doing their business. And let me tell you, we've got some questions about that in our country right now. You have to have transparent government and the participation of a wide swath of voters in government at the local level, and most importantly, not just during election cycles. You want people to be involved, almost more importantly, during the in-between periods, right? When governments are promulgating new laws and regulations. Fifth, you need the fourth estate, free press, to be truly independent, and you need laws that protect them. And sixth and finally, you need equal application of the law. That means that those in power are also held to account when they violate the laws. The biggest problem, in my opinion, with institutional legitimacy and Americans' faith or lack thereof in government right now, is that people do not feel that everybody is held accountable in the same way. And I don't care if you're coming from the left or the right. That seems to be the most frequent complaint. And certainly if you're a person that goes to work and works hard and you don't feel that you're getting ahead or you're able to provide for your children or your family in the way that you want to, you also then feel like the economy is not working for you, which means you don't believe in the institutions that are helping determine economic policy, to wit, the government. And Ms. Bryan, before Milwaukee Rotary today, said this line, and I want to repeat it because it's so powerful. The problem is not that we allow people in power to break the law. The problem is that we have crafted laws that permit those with power to evade accountability. I'm going to say that again. The problem is not that we allow people in power to break the law. It's that we have crafted laws that permit those with power, political power especially, to evade accountability. Now, over time, as I've talked about the criminal charges pending against the former president, sometimes we get callers that say, but what about, but what about, but what about? And we can pull the tapes because every time I have ever heard a but what about, my response has been investigate it, bring the evidence forward, show it or shove it, and if there are crimes, fully prosecute Mr. Biden and or his son. But we haven't seen that evidence. So let's take a pause on this. Again, the 75th anniversary of the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, which you cannot pursue human rights. You cannot effectuate human dignity. You cannot bring justice and liberation and peace to people without institutions that actually serve the vast majority of us. And so here's what. Whether you tend to vote a little bit more Republican or maybe a little bit more Democratic or maybe a little bit more Bernie Sanders, maybe a little bit more independent, all of us deeply care and should care about government corruption. And there is a way to right those wrongs, to ensure accountability, and it's through those six pillars. And so when any politician starts to threaten the press as an institution, that's not to say that any one of these pillars isn't subject to questioning and doing better and themselves being audited. But when the very institutional legitimacy of equal application of the law, independent journalism, transparent and accountable government, congressional oversight, inspectors general, and whistleblowers, when those things are questioned by politicians, I want all of us to stand up and say no. Because corruption is not a red or blue issue. It is the thing that threatens all democracies. And the greatest elixir of democracy is accountability. Now, Anya, I'm going to ask you a little question right before we go to break. I know it. I know you love it when I pop these little quizzicals at you.
I do. You have 57 seconds. Go ahead.
What is the most opaque, in other words, non-transparent line item in the U.S. budget?
That's a great question, Maggie.
Well, I
don't know.
You want to hazard a guess? Because I can tell you.
Go for it. You'll have to tell me.
It's anything to do with the military, the Defense Department, or national security. There's literally no transparency, and it is the biggest piece of governmental spending, and none of us can tell how any of that money is spent. So I ask you, is it not a good place to begin with government accountability by looking at our national security apparatus and our defense spending? I'm going to talk more about this when we come back. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Football season is back, and no matter which home team you root for, there's one thing everyone in the Midwest can agree on. If you're tailgating or grilling at home, nothing beats a freshly baked Village Hearth bun. An old-fashioned hot dog bun is the perfect accompaniment for a brat or a hot dog and all the toppings your little heart desires. And for the best burgers, you just can't beat the Village Hearth classic bun. So head to the store and pick up some Village Hearth buns. The weekend is almost here.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Scattered rain showers likely tonight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 59, winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 66, overcast skies. Cloudy skies again tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows dip down to about 59. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently it's 73 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We have got an exclusive announcement for the Democrat that's going to run against Republican Brian Steele in the 1st Congressional District of the U.S. House of Representatives, representing that bottom sort of flat little section of Wisconsin. Will define the geographic boundaries if you don't know the 1st CD. So before we went to break, I was talking about the fact that it's the 75th anniversary of the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. And we had someone who's effectively worked in that space trying to promote good government, which in turn, good government ends up promoting human rights and equity and inclusion. It's just what happens when institutions work for the vast majority of us. It works for the vast majority of us, and it starts to work for those of us who are in minorities. Amazing how good, clean government operates. The Project on Government Oversight recently tracked over 380 Pentagon officials through the revolving door. By the way, there's virtually zero federal laws that prohibit the revolving door. The federal laws that do prohibit moving between government and the private sector and effectively getting paid to provide access basically only applies to like very high level officials. Everybody else, by the way, that's the everybody else that does all the actual work. Everybody else, there's no federal laws that prohibit this. Of these 380 Pentagon officials, 25% of them went to work for the Pentagon's top five contractors. And of them, 80% worked as lobbyists. That's how this works. Does anybody reasonably want to make an argument or claim to be able to make a reasonable argument that this is good? It's not. It's a conflict of interest. It does not make people feel that government is working for them as opposed to those who can afford to lobby elected representatives. And no, money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and Citizens United is an abomination. All part of the problem. Because the job of a politician is to remain a politician, which requires fundraising every day, all day, basically all of the time, all of the days of the year. So, what do we do about this? And I am going to talk more about this article perhaps next week, because we got a lot going on this week. But there's an article recently written by former Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton in The Atlantic. And she basically says, how did we get here? And I think it's the bookend to what Ms. Danielle Brown of the Project and Government Oversight was talking about, which is we're not succeeding to these six pillars that ensure accountability in government. And so people have started to lose faith in institutions. And when you see degraded institutions, rampant conflicts of interest, I'm talking about you, Supreme Court of the United States. When you see indicators of corruption within government, when we tend to scapegoat and otherwise, instead of talking about how do we make the laws better to ensure government works for all of us, this leads to the rise of authoritarianism and those that display authoritarian tendencies. And what former Secretary of State Clinton talks about in this article is that she believes that much of the appetite for arguments that degrade institutions in the United States, much of the reason for openness or toleration of corruption, perhaps from one's own party and a different set of rules for the party you may don't agree with, is that people have become increasingly isolated and lonely. And when we disconnect from community and from one another, and we hide behind screens, and we only hear news from our own echo chambers that reaffirm our pre-existing beliefs, this sets up an incredibly dangerous dynamic. Because when we don't see one another for 2 years because of COVID, when we increasingly self-select the information that we receive, and frankly, sometimes never receive any news or facts that contradict what we think, this creates a vicious cycle that tends to push people to more extremes. The easiest way that I think of this problem that she's describing is this. Are you more likely to say nasty swear words at someone and flip them the bird in your car or if they're standing next to you in line? Nobody's going to tell me that you're more likely to do that standing next to someone in line unless you've got some sociopathic tendencies, and that's beyond the scope of this program. And that precisely is what's been happening in our country. Donald Trump sort of arrived at this moment. But these preconditions were all fomenting beforehand. Donald Trump didn't do away with a code of ethics for the Supreme Court. There was no code of ethics for the Supreme Court before him, and there's still none. It's so extreme that in May of this year, current Surgeon General Vivek Murthy published an advisory warning that he described a, quote, growing epidemic of loneliness and isolation that threatens Americans' personal health and the health of our democracy. Murthy reported that even before COVID, about half of American adults were experiencing substantial levels of loneliness. And over the past two decades, Americans have spent significantly more time alone, engaging less with family, friends, and people outside the home. By 2018, just 16% of us said they felt very attached to their local community. It almost makes me choke up reading that. We got to go to break. The big announcement comes next. And this congressional candidate for the first district in Wisconsin is going to help bring us together to solve this epidemic of loneliness and move our country forward. Keep it locked. You're not going to want to miss it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The search for speaker continues in the House now that three Republicans have been scrubbed from the list. CBS's Nicole Killian.
They've gone through their top three. They've gone through Steve Scalise. They have gone through Jim Jordan, who is considered a rising star. And they have also now gone through Tom Emmer, who's a number three Republican in the House.
Members are meeting now to decide how to move forward. The U.S. is efforting an enduring political solution in the Middle East. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
the only road to lasting peace and security in the region, the only way to break out of this horrific cycle of violence, is through two states for two peoples.
Former fixer Michael Cohen testified in Donald Trump's fraud trial today in New York. CBS's Robert Costa.
He did not ever seem to look at Cohen much. They did not have much eye contact from what we could tell. Instead, it was more of an icy tension in the room about what was unfolding as Cohen detailed all of this alleged fraud.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The jury trial started today for Jessie Kurzewski, a Franklin woman accused of poisoning her friend with eye drops. The jury, consisting of 7 women and 9 men, was selected yesterday. Kurzewski is facing charges of first-degree intentional homicide and 2 counts of felony theft. A toxicology report to be presented will reportedly show the presence of a lethal amount of a fatal eyedrop ingredient in the victim's blood. That led to the determination of homicide as the cause of death. Wisconsin has been recognized by the federal government as one of 32 technology hubs in the United States, opening the door to potential funding of up to $75 million. The initiative is receiving support from prominent employers like Rockwell Automation and GE Healthcare in the Milwaukee area. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
I always like to go back to what Tom Cruise said. Just take a walk.
That's where you get your advice.
Well, don't you remember that long time ago, Brooke Shields talked about postpartum depression going on medication? He's like, you should just go for a walk around the block.
That's so like a man.
More great words from men.
Yeah, there's a segment right there, Greg Buck.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Start dancing to.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dodd. You are listening to Studio Chit Chatter from my special guest. Because I can't be any more flattered than when someone wants to announce a campaign on my radio show. I mean, that it really does not get any better than that. So I am extremely humbled and feel very privileged to have my next guest in the studio with me. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, because you're the big surprise for the hour, and tell everybody who you are and what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much, Maggie. I'm Diane Anderson. And I chose to make a big announcement on this radio station because I really took a lot of time to look at their vision, mission, and core value statements, and they aligned so much with mine. And I decided, rather than making my announcement at the Corner Tavern,
Also, always a valuable endeavor. We can do multiple announcements, including at the Corner Tavern.
Yes, we can. I chose to announce on your show today that I am running to win. Not just running, but I am running to win the United States first congressional district seat in 2024. If you are a multitasker, why don't you just turn your computer on at the same time and go to my site, andersonwi1st.com, andersonwifirst.com. The name of my campaign is Neighbors Near and Far Joining to Elect Diane Anderson to Congress.
How wonderful. How did you come to focus on neighbors?
Because we have forgotten how to be neighbors.
Yes.
You know, I still go to my neighbors. If I run out of something, a cup of flour for chocolate chip cookies for my grandchildren.
Yep. That's sort of before the break, I was talking about our need as humans. There's a human need for connection and for community, to have neighbors, to know them, to be able to reach out to them. And it's by getting to know one another that we can open ourselves to understanding someone who might be different from us. Diane, you've raised a family of three beautiful children. You came from a family of six. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and what brought you to say, I'm going to run for Congress.
Well, I was not born a leader. I became a leader because of the influences that surrounded me. I was the middle child. Mm. So I was that new baby that came in and other people thought, oh, not another one. But then I also had to be the leader of my two younger sisters. But really my leadership, I was an awkward child, you know, as like a preteen. And the one thing that I loved to do was to sing. And my mother's best friend was Bernadette Myers. She was in charge of all the liturgy for the church, especially the musical liturgy. And she knew I liked to sing. My mom was in the choir.
Mm.
So Bernadette said to me, hey, Reitz, which is my mom's nickname, I'll give Diane private vocal lessons.
Ugh.
So I developed my leadership by being able to get up in front of people and not just talk, but to sing for weddings, kind of like the wedding singer and at other functions.
Much better than Adam Sandler, though, I have to assume. I think, you know, the arts and its role in young people's development is so critical. I myself was a classically trained violinist. My parents then got me involved in jazz and Irish and all sorts of pop stuff. I did a touring group, met lots of different kids. And what a shame that we can build new high school football stadiums, but we can't seem to fund arts programs in our public schools. Tell me a little bit about your platform, Diane, because I really enjoyed reading it. You had these six fundamental points, one of them being about education. Tell me a little bit, Diane, about your view on education and how we should be approaching that.
Well, we need to have quality education that is fair to everybody. If we do not educate our children, we are not going to be able to be world leaders anymore. If we don't give everybody equal treatment and their chance to get quality education, we are not going to be leaders.
I really appreciate that and respect the heck out of it. I'm going to give you maybe a softball question, Diane.
Okay.
So Kenosha School District just banned like 30 books.
Oh, gosh.
You got a take on the book bans. What's your view?
Well, one view is that, boy, we went to that Kenosha Democratic Party meeting, and those people are very, very strong. That's where it's coming on.
Mm-hmm.
I think the crisis that happened a couple summers ago in Kenosha really helped that group of people become better neighbors. But there's factions on the other side that are taking books, that it should be up to each individual parent to decide what books that they want to have their children to have access to, but they should be in the public library. Schools available for the teachers and the librarians to share if they want to. If they don't want that kid to have their books, they write a note.
Right.
And
your kid brings home the Handmaid's Tale. You don't want your child reading Margaret Atwood. Can't imagine why. But go ahead and take the book from your kid.
Take the book from your kid then. Write the note. I don't want my kid ever to check out a book like this again. And handle it on an individual basis. But we are taking away literature that people should be exposed to. I don't know if you picked this up because I don't think I wrote too much about it online, but I have a subspecialty in human sexuality, and a lot of people don't realize that besides my specialty in diabetes, which is, you know, an actual certification.
But by the way, just a point of background, Diane has both a BS and an MS in nursing from UWM.
Yeah.
And that's
Go Panthers.
Go Panthers. That's your professional passion, especially in diabetes. But you were saying, I want folks to also know your academic background.
Yes, so, that academic background, as well as a master's level teaching certificate, which is required if you teach in the Wisconsin Technical College system. And I did teach there for 15 years. I taught most of the healthcare careers, from certified nursing assistants, LPNs, medical assistants, registered nurses. And I taught by storytelling.
Yes.
Some people didn't like that. They wanted me to go by the PowerPoint slide.
Those are so boring. Who wants a PowerPoint when you can tell a good story? You were saying that you've got a subspecialty in human sexuality. I find it... It's always been an interesting sort of curiosity to me that in this country, as soon as we start talking about sexuality or human sexuality, everybody kind of freaks out. It's like, we can't talk about that. But I've never quite gotten my head around why information and good access to good information, accurate information, is so problematic for us, especially in a public school system.
Well, you know, it happened, actually. It came from my home. My parents, and I'll just confess right now, I was raised in a Catholic family. And my father just was very liberal about talking to us, probably more liberal than my mother was. Mm. And funny story. Can I tell a funny story? Some people might think it's gross, but one day one of the little girls found wrapped very properly a Kotex pad in the garbage can. My father was the one who told the two girls
what it was.
Talk to them about the whole menstrual cycle. And you know what? It was just part of the family.
And how refreshing. I mean, all of us, if you're listening and you think back on those moments in your young life, the destigmatization that, oh yeah, that's a feminine hygiene product. It's a maxi pad. Women have a menstrual cycle and you just go about explaining it. Kids pick up on when we freak out. If we would freak out less, provide more facts, boy, I think we would have some young people making true expressions, true choices, having true agency about their own sexuality.
Well, you know, what I did was even take it one step further. When my children were in school, I introduced a Milwaukee Archdiocese approved human sexuality program that went from K to eighth grade.
That I'm just going to, let's pause. If you can do that, Diane, you can do anything, because getting a human sexuality program through any archdiocese in the Catholic Church is certainly an accomplishment worth celebrating. Let's talk a little bit about your positions on healthcare and climate.
Healthcare?
So important.
Okay.
Hit on healthcare first.
Let's hit on healthcare. And I'm sure, you know, let me start on this this craze for everybody to get on the injectable weight loss drugs. I actually, my proudest leadership moment was when I was named to the American Diabetes Association's National Diabetes Prevention Committee. Our committee took to Congress all the evidence-based data that showed, and they started this science actually in Europe, you know, because they have the best science as well as Canada or any other place that has a different type of healthcare system. But we got them to pass the 2009 Diabetes Prevention Act. Mm. And this allows for Medicare to pay for a program that actually through lifestyle, including exercise and nutrition changes, that you can prevent type 2 diabetes, which 90% of diabetes is.
Right. One of the most interesting things for me was when I, many moons ago, worked with a nutritionist, learning about how lobbying efforts affected the nutritional labels that we see on food and how useless they are, because I don't know what a gram looks like. Why report the amount of sugar in grams per serving? You take 1 gram, you multiply that by 4, you'll have the number of teaspoons, and teaspoons are those little packets that you see sitting on the on a restaurant table. So if you want to know how much sugar is in something, do that math, right? I mean, we make it hard for people to actually understand what they're eating. Such a problem in our healthcare system.
No, it needs to be simpler. And that's why artificial intelligence, machine learning, you know, in many, many ways can make it much easier for people. However, there are just some basic steps. For example, I would start out questioning a newly diagnosed patient with type 2 diabetes. Well, tell me what your usual day is like. I wouldn't even start talking about food.
Yes.
And one answer I got from a gentleman was that he drank 2 gallons of 2% milk a day.
Oh, boy.
Do you know how much carbohydrate that has in it? Mm. And I didn't make him change a ton of behaviors. I just got him to cut it back to maybe 2 to 4 8-ounce glasses of milk a day. And that's what it takes, is to
small incremental changes.
Small incremental changes.
And meeting people where they are and not with a bunch of judgment. Can you stick around for another segment, Diane? I'd love to talk to you more if you've got the time.
I certainly can.
Wonderful. We're going to talk about First Congressional District candidate Diane Anderson taking on Brian Steele and the dysfunction of the GOP in the House of Representatives. We actually need a government that works. Let's just start there. I mean, actually shows up and goes to work. Something that simply eluded the GOP for the last few weeks. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. If you got questions for Diane, give us a call or text 844-967-2789. We'd love to hear from y'all. Back with more in a moment.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the...
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Scattered rain showers likely tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows level off around 59, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 66, cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows level off around 59. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 73 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Not for Diane Anderson. She's running to be the next representative of the first congressional district here in Wisconsin to restore some sanity to the U.S. House of Representatives. You heard it here first on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Brian Steele is going to have a competitor next fall for that first congressional seat, and his competitor is going to be Miss Diane Anderson. Before we had to go to break, we had been talking about a whole bunch of different things that are part of your platform. And I wanted to give you a chance to address climate and why you think it's important to, one, talk about climate from a science-based perspective, but why it's really important for the United States.
Well, just look at it. We actually are very fortunate to live right across from Lake Michigan. And we daily see the effects of climate change. There's a park down by our house, in which the banks of that park have completely eroded because the weather has changed so much. It's so much warmer into the winter. I mean, actually heading towards winter here.
Yep. It's really incredible. I did a piece a couple months ago on the show. Ron Johnson's argument's basically like, don't worry about it, because if it warms up here, that's better for Wisconsinites. He basically said, I'm not worried about the southern states, and I absolutely don't worry about Africa, which I found kind of crazy, because exactly the point that you just made, Diane, all of us know people that, or know somebody who knows somebody that lives adjacent to a river, Lake Michigan, or one of Wisconsin's many beautiful lakes. And I got to tell you, most of those folks that I know are telling me stories about, I've lost 20 feet of frontage and now I've got foundation problems. My pier has now been washed out into the lake. I'm worried about whether or not my house or my cottage is even going to be there. Now, if that's your cottage and it's a second home, boy, those are first world problems. But the point stands that we're not immune from those effects here in Wisconsin. And that one of the things that I think was really important for the first congressional district, as well as the congressional districts that cover the city of the entirety of Milwaukee County, and you've got about half of it, plus Racine, Kenosha, a portion of Walworth, is that places that have urban areas with not a lot of tree cover and big industries, boy, is climate change having an outsized negative impact on communities of color, because we've crammed freeways and not planted trees and put our polluting big industries in those redlined neighborhoods. So too in Racine and Kenosha. How's that showing up in your district?
Well, it does show up in our district and the surrounding areas.
which is why, hey, I'm going to give a shout out now to my son, Michael Anderson, who is the youth programmer for the Milwaukee Bike or the Wisconsin Bike Federation. Oh, and wonderful. He teaches kids how to ride bikes. He gets them down to Lake Michigan for the first time ever. They can drive their bikes safe to school. Mm. But no, these masses of concrete that we have in our urban area are absorbing the heat.
Yep. It's going to take more and more lives, especially in urban areas, especially in communities of color. Certainly a top line item. Love to see that as part of your priorities. I also wanted to give you a chance to talk about your view on the U.S. economy. So much ink being spilt these days, talking about Bidenomics, the inflation rate, all these things. And I really appreciated what your website had to offer about this very concept of living wages. Tell us more about that, Diane.
Well, we went to the grocery store two times last weekend at the local Piggly Wiggly. I usually go to Aldi's because they have very good prices and or a lot of organic food. But we could not believe to actually do home cooking, which we do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy.
Extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
Yes.
And we are going to have a problem if we do not do something to control the climate so that we can control the production of crops that we need.
It's super interesting because these things are all linked together, right? And if you want to talk about living wages and making sure people can buy good quality food, frankly, within walking distance of their home.
Well, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen because in this district, we have far too many food deserts.
Yes.
And if you don't know what that means, that's a place where you cannot walk to a grocery store.
Or get fresh produce within a couple of miles or on a public transportation line. I need to ask you about, we've gotten a couple of our texters watching live. Great. Thank you very much, y'all. What about a woman's right to choose? Who gets to decide? A bunch of dudes in Congress?
No.
Or women and their healthcare providers?
The right to choose anything in healthcare, whether or not it's the right to that word that people don't like to hear about, abortion, okay, or any other decision in their life, is the right of that person. And the woman has the right to choose. What's happening now, we have healthcare providers that cannot even finish their education in women's health issues in our state.
How shameful.
Because of the whole...
they don't know what the words mean. I've said on my show a couple of times, and then I'm going to ask you for your last word on your candidacy, Diane. Maybe we'll have you back and we'll talk more. What I've observed a few times on my show is if the legislation itself can't find the language to make it specific enough that allows healthcare providers to follow the law, we probably shouldn't be legislating in this area anyways. That could not be more true when it comes to a woman's right to choose abortion and whatever other reproductive health care she believes in consultation with her healthcare provider that she should have, as well as gender affirming care and the whole panoply of health care. Diane, why should people turn out and vote for you? And where can they get involved if they want to hear more about you and help your campaign out?
Well, they should turn out and help us with the campaign. Number one, we need a lot of help. In order for me to get help from people at a different level in the party is we need donations, and you know they can
brass tax folks.
Brass
donations.
Tax. We really need donations. We also need volunteer help.
You can do both at Anderson with an O, WI1ST. That's Anderson WI1ST.com. It's been a real privilege to have you here, Diane. I would love to have you back sometime if you would be so kind as to join me.
And I would love to join you again because there's so many topics we didn't get a chance to cover.
All day, Diane. I love it. Mike, congrats to you on the announcement of your candidacy. Best of luck. We'll have you back here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'll be back on Thursday. Thanks for listening, everybody. That's all for now.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs. But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.